The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
And right now, this is the happiest moment I've ever been in my whole life. I've never had any experience like this.
Trinkus, still not Duplessis.
That's it. Surviving, that's gonna do it.
Anyone who wants to just bang on, you know, let's get them on. You need to entertain the fans.
Time, Batem Tuivasa.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt and I are starting up as I butchered the fucking opening. We have Dricus du Plessis will be joining us today, fighting Trevin Giles at 264. This fight I'm looking forward to. This Tai Tuivasa we have joining us, fighting Greg Hardy.
I mean, that's almost like a hidden, that's like a little Easter egg. That's like a little hidden gem. I go in a stacked card. That's a great fight.
Hardy, he does get tired, but he's gone the distance a couple of times. So, I mean, he's definitely looked better.
He looked like, and he looked the best he's looked until he lost, like when he got taken out by, Marcin Tybura.
Yeah.
Right. But he was looking good up until then, up until he got taken out. He was like, he's looking good.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like the gas tank just got emptied. Empty, Jimmy.
Yeah. But he's making an effort. It seems like he's not just trying to come in and expecting to knock people out in one round. And Dana is so funny. While we're talking about the heavyweights, yeah. This interim fight between Derek Lewis and Cyril Gane, Dana's response, Dana on the criticism of the interim heavyweight fight, shut the fuck up. That's his response.
Wait, that's it?
That's what Dana. Well, no, there's more too, but that's the headline. Dana's response, shut the fuck up. I don't know what's going on with Francis's management. That's weird, man. It's weird.
I don't even know the ins and outs of it. I mean, what do we know? We know that the guy's going, I'll show the text messages. And then, I don't know, Dana's calling the guy, whatever he's calling him. So,
yeah.
Guy, I think Dana was saying the guy's full of it. So, hey, man, I don't even know what the argument's about, I'm sure. Obviously, it's about the ducats or whatever, but I don't know, man. You know?
Yeah.
Who knows what the hell's going on? All I know is Francis ain't fighting.
No, and his manager said he'd be ready in September. But Jones is taking so long to go up to heavyweight. So I guess Francis would have had, but Derek Lewis was the fight, or there was possibly a Stipe third fight. But I think that Derek definitely deserves a shot. So, I guess that's the fight to make, is Cyril Gane and Lewis. But I kind of wanted to see Francis fight.
Hey,
both of those guys.
Listen, speaking of fights, I can't wait for this weekend.
Oh, God.
I want to know what time, my good friend, should you be, what time should I be headed to your place? What time are we doing the watch party?
Well, the watch party.
It's not the watch along.
It's a watch along party.
Wait, no, hold on, Jimmy.
No.
Jimmy, you're wrong.
Yes. Okay.
I think you're wrong. Listen, all I know is I took that to the got people and they go, look, Jimmy's calling it watch along. It's not the watch, it's the watch. So there might be two.
Oh, I'm calling it wrong? Okay.
Look what he said.
It's the watch party. Great.
But listen, first of all, Jimmy, it's always a party when we're together.
Yeah.
So it is. That's where you probably had it confused. Like, you thought Matt's just saying that as it's always a party. Right. But what time am I going to be there for all the prelims, early prelims?
Look, they're catering it. The UFC probably won't be here till then. Wow. But we have prelims. We got the early prelims. I mean, and of course, the main card. I was thinking that you were going to come in just for McGregor Poirier. But if you want to come a little earlier,
don't say it. There's a truth in every joke.
No, know? Come for the whole show, man. Come whenever you want to come. Come. I mean, the main card starts at 10 p.m., but you're obviously gonna be here earlier than that. So come whenever you want. We'll eat food. I got a white couch. I don't know if you're gonna like my couch, Matt. You're gonna sink into my couch. It's a fucking cloud couch, and you're gonna go koof, and you're gonna.
That's not good for my back.
Yeah, you might not like my couch.
Yeah. Listen, before we get, who's coming in first?
I don't know. To be very honest, I'm going to guess Dricus Duplessis.
Let's get to know him. It's his first time on here. Let's get to know Dricus Duplessis.
Duplessis, yeah.
That's what I said. That's when they cut to bring him in, Jimmy.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Dricus, what's up, man?
What's up? Oh, man, what an honor. What an honor.
The great Jim Norton. You must be a comedy fan.
Well, no, I believe he was referring to the ex-welterweight champion.
Well, both of you guys, it's awesome.
I can't wait to get to know you. It's your first time on this program.
Yeah, it is. I saw the names and I was like, this is awesome.
Dricus, does the referee, when he gets you ready, before he greases you up, before you go in the cage, does he ever make sure that your spikes are not too spiky on top? You got some hair. That could take out a fucking eye.
Yeah, well, I mean, weapon you can get away with, take it in there.
I'll tell you, that looks like that could hold up in like a windstorm. Look at that. Looks like it doesn't look that loose.
It's a good look, though. Even when I had hair, I couldn't do that.
That's a wax.
Oh, look at that. Oh, you put a little wax in there.
Yeah.
That's what the kids do.
Yeah, that's a good look.
Yeah, that's what the kids do nowadays.
So, hey, man, let's get to know you a little bit, buddy. I'm really excited to see you fight this weekend. I want to know, where are you coming from? And what was the first discipline you ever learned?
So, I'm from South Africa. Live there, trained there, born there. My whole life I've been in South Africa. And, like I said, living there my whole life. And my first discipline was judo, actually. When I was 5 years old, I started doing judo for five years. I did it until I was 10. Then I wrestled for a little. I did some wrestling for 2 years. But when I was a little kid, I didn't like the wrestling that much because, the judo is a completely different sport to wrestling. And you know, it was never for me to get to this career at this point in my life. So it was always just fun after school. I played school sports, played rugby, did athletics, all that. So, I mean, it was just an after-school activity my brothers did. So I was with them. And then I watched some movies about fighting like anybody else, and I just started loving it. And at the age of 14, 15, I started with K1 kickboxing.
Five years old into judo. Is somebody in your family a martial artist? Why so young to start?
Well, my grandpa was, but didn't really know him. That's the weird thing. My dad is not into martial arts at all. Nobody in my family. We did judo. Both my brothers, older brothers. Were multiple national champions in judo. Oh. And I basically just had to go with the training because I was 5 years old. So might as well join in training. So it was never competitive for me in terms of this. I want to reach something, but I was good at judo. I was a national champion because I was too young to compete at national champs, but I was a good judoka. And that was basically it. There was no forcing me into any of this. My parents didn't force me into it. I did it because I loved it.
And what was it like growing up in South Africa? You know, like I know comedians that have gone over to Johannesburg and done like a festival there. I've never been. I hear like it's really certain parts are scary and dangerous, and other people say no, it's a great city. Like I've spent. What's it like? And where was it that you grew up?
It's in South Africa. I'm from the Free State. Born in the Free State. And then moved to Gauteng in Hartbeespoort Dam. That's where I'm from. And, South Africa, it has its ups and downs. And it has its good sides and its bad sides. And as far as neighborhoods go, there are neighborhoods that are very, very bad. And then there are neighborhoods that are not so bad, but still bad. It's and that's crime wise. I mean, it's not a
right.
It's a beautiful country. It's awesome to live in. It's not really what I would say foreigners would expect. I think you'll be more pleasantly surprised when you get there than you would be surprised in terms of saying this is a rural area. There is rural areas, but South Africa is a great country. And yes, we do have incredible crime rate. It is, and that's not certain areas. That's the whole of Africa, all of South Africa.
Did you fight a lot as a kid, like in your neighborhood? Because a lot of guys in martial arts were fighting a lot as kids, but not for you?
I did, but it was never, I wasn't a street rat or anything like that. I wasn't a street kid or anything. I was a good student. I was good in sports. I come from a very good family. I come from a good background. I had a wonderful family, a mom, a dad, three brothers, and we lived a normal life. And I grew up, I could say, in the comfort. I grew up very comfortably in terms of what a lot of people go through. I had a beautiful family, mom and dad still together, brothers, and a very, very loving family. So there was never a need for me to fight. It was never the motivation behind it. I just love fighting more than anything else in the world.
Well, you're good at it, brother.
Yeah.
I mean, 17 bouts, not one single bout went the distance. Seven KOs, eight sub wins, one KO loss, and one sub loss. That's wild, man.
Yeah,
the crowd pleaser.
Yeah. Going out there and, the roar of the crowd apparently gets me going. Well, the boo of the crowd as well, I guess. But, going out there and I believe a lot of people ask me, do I go out there and just look for the finish the whole time? And I don't think it is that. I don't think it is that. I think I go out there and I use the tools that my coaches gave me. I use the tools that I train. I don't want to hit pads for 8 weeks, 2-3 hours a day and not go out there and hit a guy. I don't want to train submissions for 2-3 hours a day and not go out there and try and use a submission and lie on top of a guy. I don't want to train my ground and pound and not use it. I want to use my tools when I get in that cage. It's almost like, when do you get the chance to throw a full-blown shot at somebody? The only time you get that is in a fight. And every time I go out there, I can use full strength. I can use full power. I can fight you with everything I got. Like, you only have 15 or 25 minutes to get that freedom to do it. And every time I go out there, that's what I try and do, is I use that time I have in there to try and hit as hard as I can for the first time in how long I've been imagining this. It's hitting a guy as hard as I can. That's amazing.
And you're 15-2, sorry. And Trevin is 14-2. You guys are really, really evenly matched.
Yeah.
It's a very evenly matched fight. And he has a really interesting life. I mean, you know that he's a cop, and he has a very, very interesting life outside of the cage too.
Yeah, we are basically complete opposites, if you can look at it that. Even though our records are very similar, our stats is very similar. I'm a little bit more tall, I'm a bit more lanky, I'm a bit more muscular, but he's obviously a bigger frame guy, and he's a family man. I mean, obviously, I've seen it. He's a family man. He's a good guy. He's an officer. I have nothing but respect for him. I've nothing but respect for him. He's not my friend. He's not my enemy. He's the guy I'm fighting. We both have the same goal in mind. My goal is to be a UFC champion and be the greatest to ever do this. And I'm assuming the same for him. So we're going to go out there and have ourselves an amazing fight. And it's nothing personal. It's just business. And yeah.
Your first fight, it went very well in the UFC. How did it feel? How did it feel to make that walk? How did it feel to finally get there?
It is it's a very interesting story about how my first fight came about. There was this time in my career where I became a weight division champion in the UFC. And the only fight I've ever lost in the UFC was to Gareth McLellan, who, after he beat me, the first fight after he beat me, I was 19 years old then, fighting for his title, fighting for his belt. That was my fourth professional fight, fighting for the belt. And also a short notice fight that got me there. And he beat me by a submission. And after that fight, his record was 15-2 or 15-3. Then he went to the UFC. So that was a big one for me. And it was a close fight. It was a good fight. And yeah, that was my loss in the UFC. And then I became a welterweight. I moved down to 170, became welterweight champion, fought Yanni Pahadi at 185 again, became the middleweight champion. And then I got the call from KSW in Europe, and they wanted to offer me the title shot at the welterweight. And I went out there, first fight title shot, and got the second round knockout on Roberto Soldich. And then I had three belts, and it was amazing. I fell on top of the world, and I was like, now I'm ready. I didn't chase the UFC because I knew I didn't want to be in the UFC by hook or by crook. I wanted to be there because I deserve to be there. And I want to know that I've tested myself against every single great fighter outside of the UFC before I get into the UFC. You don't want to get it too soon. I don't want to get cut. I get to the UFC, I want to become champion. That's my route. And after beating Soldich, I knew, listen, I'm ready for the big stage now. I'm ready. And I would have signed as a welterweight. That was the plan originally. And, you know, my body just couldn't make it anymore. We kept the test because I had a massive cut to welterweight. My walk around weight is close to 220.
Wow.
And, yeah.
How tall are you?
Why, 6 feet one.
Six feet one. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so I walk around like 215, 220 when I'm outside of the fight camp. And that's in shape. It's not like I just go and get fat at all.
Right.
Just I'm a big guy. And the welterweight cut was really taxing. And I walk around the same weight I did as a welterweight right now. It's just the cut is just not that long and that big. It was tough. And then it took a toll on my body. So when I got older, because I was younger, and we made the call that I'm fighting at middleweight. And I started after the loss because I beat Soldich and then he beat me in the rematch. He beat me. So it was he caught me with a big punch in the third or fourth round. And then I made the call. I said, listen, this welterweight cut is not working for me. He caught me with a punch that I was supposed to take. I've taken big punches, and that punch wasn't the punch that should have knocked me out. And, at least it didn't knock me out clean, but he shouldn't have rocked me with that punch. And I made the move up to middleweight. And especially I started training in the States then. I started training with guys at Henry Hooft, at Sanford. And then I saw I'm a big middleweight. I can fight at middleweight.
Yeah.
And I started fighting at middleweight, and it's the best decision of my life. And
I mean, look at Dustin Poirier, for example.
Exactly.
Robert Whittaker. Yeah. And you know, he took a shot. At least, I mean, you could argue he just takes a shot better at 155. His head 100%. Looks
bigger. His head looks bigger. Exactly.
He used to call him a pea head. He's not really a pea head no more. You know?
His body and his head looks the same size. If you saw me at welterweight, you'd say this guy's definitely a pea head.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. When I was at 155, I was nothing but head. I was just a fucking.
I actually watched one of your fights just in this week. I watched some reruns at the PR, and I was like, wow, I see you a lot on the Dana White looking for a fight, all that stuff. And I'm like, I can't believe that's your weight.
With my record, when you're saying I've seen some of the fights, I'm like, well, it could have been good. Could have been a bad fist. I'm not even saying, oh, great. If that's St. Pierre, he'd most likely be like, oh, awesome. But shit.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what it's about, man. It's not winning and losing. It's about putting up the performance. And you always did that.
I knew I liked you right off the bat. Right. And I thought it was the hair, but no, this is great.
You guys are going to fight in March. And you had a visa issue. Did they hold you up, or did they not want to issue you one, or was it just a delay?
Yeah, so basically what happened is the COVID situation still in South Africa. I'm really lucky to be here. Our country went into a hard lockdown again 2 days before I flew out here. And we had to make a lot of things happen because back then we had the UFC. We had even had some of the FBI guys phoning our government saying, listen, this guy needs an appointment now. And it was basically the embassy that didn't have the – it was the timing of the appointment. The embassy was too far backlogged. They weren't giving any visas. There was nobody to work at the embassy. The whole country was in lockdown, and they couldn't – there wasn't enough time. And, I mean, this was 8 weeks before the fight that we started applying for the visa.
Wow.
And the embassy just couldn't make it happen. It wasn't that they denied it. It was just the fact that the timing, they didn't do it in time. That's why we only knew about a week out. We kept on hoping. They said maybe tomorrow, maybe in a year. We don't know.
Yeah.
And it just didn't come to light. And I got my visa 3 days after the fight.
Isn't it crazy? Like, I guess everything was closed down for so long. They're just backlogged, and they got months and months of you know, there's just a lot for them to do, I guess.
Yeah, exactly that.
Okay, well, that's good. It wasn't denied. This is a delay. Is a friend of mine's going for a passport. He wants to travel, and he said it's a 12-week wait. He's a U.S. citizen, and he wants to and to get your passport updated. It was 12 weeks, and that's with the rush. So I guess everybody's kind of dealing with it. Sucks.
Yeah, man. No, exactly. So, but I mean, when that fight got canceled, obviously, and you know, if your fight gets canceled about 3 weeks out, you're like, oh, it sucks, but it is what it is, and you move on. When you started cutting weight and doing everything a week out from your fight, already started water loading, all that, already packed and ready to go, and your fight gets canceled, it's devastating. It was, yeah. And here we go. And when I made the announcement on video in my country, people are going crazy for this fight. I have a massive support back home. It's insane. The whole Africa and South Africa, especially, is going insane. It's like the Springboks playing for the Rugby World Cup. It's people are going mad. People are doing events. People are going crazy for this fight. And it's you know, not a lot of South Africans have done this. So it's really a big privilege for me. And when I've cancelled that fight on a video and then I sent out, I said, listen, everything happens for a reason. Something bigger will come of this. And here I am just a few months later. It's the exact same fight, exact same opponent, just on the Conor McGregor Poirier card in Las Vegas. It's next level. It's not in the Apex, in T-Mobile Arena, sold out crowd. It's exactly what it was in March, just bigger and better.
Just bigger, because it's a big, I mean, his card, I mean.
And he got another win on his record. He fought, the Leche actually stepped up to the fight, so he got another win, so now he's on a three-fight streak, and that's even better for me.
You fought once in the Apex, right?
I've never fought. No, I fought at Fight Island, my debut.
Oh, okay. So you no crowd though.
Yeah, no crowd. So yeah. This is going to be crazy.
Yeah. How did that throw you at all? We've had mixed answers from guys. Some said that it didn't matter because that's how you train, is with no crowd, and other guys said that you can feel the energy difference.
Yeah, definitely. I could feel the energy difference. Once the fight started, though, it wasn't different to me at all. The only difference was I could hear my corner.
Right.
I could hear my corner clearly, but the crowd, then I realized you can hear the crowd in a fight, but it's just background noise. You don't really hear it. And that was cool. The walkout was a little bit strange, Yeah. And the weirdest part for me was after the fight. The weirdest part of the whole no crowd was after the fight. Cause I always, when I win a fight, people don't understand the kind of emotion the fighters go through, you know, this build up, the raw emotion, and you know, my first fight in the UFC, everything I've ever worked for, getting that knockout, I scream. I just can't help it. I screamed really loud, like I always do. But usually there's the crowd noise to dampen that.
Yeah.
And Raul, when I rewatched that fight, I'm like, wow, I screamed so loud. That
whole fucking place lunatic.
So, I mean, that was the biggest difference. And I can't wait to find the crowd again. It's amazing. I love the crowd. I love the pressure. For some reason, when the pressure comes on, I just do stuff that I didn't even know I could do myself.
You were saying before how devastating it is when, like, you're sitting there water loading, your camp's already in, and then they had to cancel. The fight gets canceled right then. What people don't understand, and I hate when I hear, like, oh, man, I'll get paid this amount for 15 minutes of work. Dude, it's 2 months, 2.5 months. You put – it's like you're getting – you didn't get paid for – you did – a lot of the job. I mean, you put the hours in. So that's what people don't see. So it's not like, you know what I mean? So I don't know. I feel
the fight. The fight, in a way, I always tell people, the fight's the easiest day at the job.
Oh, whoo.
The diet, the training, the making the weight, that's the hard part of the job. The easy part is the fight and going out there with doing what you love. We love fighting so much that we go through all that ridiculous pain, and not just 8 weeks, years and months. And it's a constant work. You can't just train for 8 weeks. It's years and years and years. And no. Even when you're sore and you're tired, injuries, that's the hard part of the job. For a maximum of 25 or 15 minutes of fun, that's how you know you really love something.
What always felt good when I was leaving for when I'm done with the fight camp and I'm going to board the plane to Vegas or whatever, is I know when it's like the last day of the Versa climber, you know, the Versa climber, or the last day of the hills, especially the Versa climber. Like, I know I don't have to do it again until after. I go, all right, look, I'm going to go fight in the cage with a badass right now, but I don't got to go. That's great. I don't got to go near that fucking thing.
That's it. I feel that way about the assault bike. We had that assault bike that we used for that kind of training as well. And that assault bike and me, we have a very big love-hate relationship. You know, it's one of the best things ever for me as a fighter. It helped me. I mean, obviously, it's great. It's great for everything MMA-related. But, man, that thing and I, we have a love-hate relationship. When I'm done with my sessions, with my intervals for fight distance on that thing, I'm like, yeah.
Exactly. Enjoy that. Fuck
I owned you. Another camp done.
Hey, dude, I got a VersaClimber at my school now. I don't touch it. I don't even look, I just look at it. I just walk past it.
I don't need you anymore.
I go, you help me get all this. I don't really talk.
Does anybody actually like it, though? I've never fought in my life, and I've done it in the gym, and it stinks. I mean, does anybody actually enjoy the VersaClimber?
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is about all that thing, if you enjoy it, it's probably not the thing your coach is going to make you use. That's exactly. The sad part about all the equipment.
Yeah, I guess so, right?
It's not that bad if you're just like kind of cruising on it. But when you have to like do 30 seconds above a certain level or keep it at this rate,
RPMs
that just sucks, man. You try to get a stride and you look horrible and you're like, yeah, I don't know. You feel like a little bitch. I hate it. I fucking hate it. But I'll tell you right now, I can count on my, not I count on my hand, really only like two fights I remember getting tied in. So the thing does work. It's fucking great. You know?
How many minutes, Matt, would you go? Would you go like, 30 seconds on, 30 off? Or
there's that, or a whole minute, and then there's a minute, that type of thing. But it's also, I would either do it part of a big workout, or even part of it, like I would do the whole fight on it. I would do the whole fight.
Yeah.
Interval training.
Yeah, that's exactly. Like do 5 minutes, have 1 minute break. Minutes, 1 minute break. Yeah, that's tough. Yeah, that's exactly how we use it.
When I do it, you hear, what? 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 Nice and relaxed. That's crazy. Oh, so they'll have you do 15 minutes at a decent pace just to make sure you can do it.
Yeah, dude. I mean, anybody can go on at 15 and just kind of do exactly the pace you were doing.
Yeah.
Right? Hey, Vickers, for the people at home, they want to get to know you better, okay? Something unrelated to MMA, a hobby, a book, a show you're watching on Netflix. Talk to us.
Massive binge watcher. I watch, I'm a binge watcher because it's between training. I just destroy Netflix. I'm constantly looking for new stuff to watch. I love it.
What'd you watch lately? Give me something.
I rewatched Vikings 4 times now.
Jimmy,
I know that's Matt's show. That is Matt's show.
That is, it's amazing. I'm definitely naming my first son Ragnar. It's
one of the greatest.
He's amazing. He's an amazing athlete.
He's not without flaws, but I mean, rapes and pillages. But listen, I'm telling you,
For the time he was in, well done.
I'll tell you right now, I'm not even exaggerating. I think it might be my favorite series ever. I'm thinking it's better than Game of Thrones. It's really.
It's right up there. That's a two for me. Game of Thrones and Vikings right up there. Then, of course, I'm a Banshee fan, a massive Banshee fan. Sheriff Hood.
Drinkers, we could have been hanging out ages ago. I just got into Banshee. Another one I told you. Oh,
you are in for such a treat. I've watched it 3 times as well. Sheriff Hood is going to be your new hero. He's amazing. It's awesome. It's a great, great entertaining show.
Sheriff.
Sheriff Hood.
It's great. Jimmy, I'm getting back into that because I'm watching that with my wife.
Yeah.
If I can recommend something, if you like zombies, check out Black Summer.
Okay. I'm keen. I like zombies.
Check that out, man.
Then, of course, reading. I love reading. I love, that's one thing when I stopped studying, when I finished studies and like all that part of my life, when I stopped and I realized, I have to get smarter the whole time. I don't want to, as a mentally get stuck somewhere. So I'm constantly trying to learn, I don't need the credentials. I just read the courses. I just go through nutrition and the physical body. I know stuff because that's the best way for me as an athlete to improve my mental health, to improve my physical health, to make sure I don't get injured, to not just listen to a doctor, but to know exactly what he's talking about. So I like to educate myself on that. But mental health is a big mental strength. mental training is something that is pretty new in the sport and not a lot of people utilizes it. I have a mental coach and he's a very good friend of mine. So I spend a lot of time getting myself mentally ready, reading books on it. I'm reading Extreme Ownership with Jocko Willink right now. These are all the books that I love to read. Stealing Fire, which is an amazing book about it's about the hero's journey. These kinds of stuff that's almost like all about peak performance, getting into that flow state. That's up. I'm very, very intrigued by that. I love it.
What'd you say about the hero's journey? Which one is that?
Stealing Fire is the book's name. I'll get your name. Stealing Fire. It's my favorite book. It's the best book I've ever read.
Drikas, am I saying it right? It is probably pronounced
Drikas.
Okay, I'm making sure. We have Tai Tuivasa in the waiting room. So thank you for coming on. Trevin Giles, you guys are kicking off the prelims on Saturday night. Good to finally have you on the show. And we'd love to have you back another time and talk more about that other stuff too. It was fun talking to you.
Oh, hell yeah.
Guys, thank you so much. It was really awesome meeting you. Big fan. And thank you for having me. And thanks for the opportunity. It's really awesome. Cheers.
This podcast is brought to you by Neds, the official wagering partner of the UFC in Australia. Aussie fight fans, keep an eye out for this weekend's UFC pay-per-view event, Player Pump. Player Pump gives you a special fixed odds price for a fighter to win by markets like method of victory, round betting, and heaps more. You can even pump up your odds on the UFC by combining your favorite markets across different cards. The action doesn't stop with UFC. Neds has everything you need to take it to the Neds level, regardless of what you bet on. Neds Same Game Multi is now available on more sports than ever before. Blended is also brand new to Neds and available on all three racing codes. Blended lets you pick multiple runners in the same race at special blended odds. It's never been easier for you to be paid out as a winner. Take UFC to the Neds level. UFC markets exclude South Australian residents. Minimum blended odds, $1.10. Terms and conditions apply and are available on the Neds website. Remember to always gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858. Support for UFC Unfiltered comes from the official hair restoration partner of UFC, Hair Club. UFC fans notoriously take pride in the way they look. They train hard and it shows in their physique. But if you're not dedicated to your hair health, you're really not giving 100%. For over 40 years, our hair loss experts have helped over 500,000 clients regrow, replace, and restore their hair. Hair Club offers complimentary in-center and virtual consultation hair health experts to help you learn about custom solutions to regain your hair. Invest in yourself and find out which Hair Club solution will work for you. Schedule a free, no obligation hair health checkup by visiting hairclub.com/UFC or texting knockout to 694-247. Text knockout to 694-247 or go to hairclub.com/UFC to schedule a free, no obligation hair health checkup. Hair Club, love your hair, live your life.
Look at that shirt.
You like that? It's the Aboriginal flag.
It's your flag.
Yeah, it's a NAIDOC week back home.
Oh, no, what is that? What week is it?
NAIDOC week.
What does that mean?
It's just a week where we represent our people, our past and present, just represent our mob.
Oh, okay.
Now, let me ask you, Ty, with this whole COVID fucking thing going on, are you a little hesitant to drink out of a stinky boot now with that fucking thing?
Come on, man.
He doesn't give a shit.
It's the vaccine, man. Fuck, I've been trying to tell you this for years.
He doesn't care?
You don't care.
I don't think he gives a shit. Hey, Ty, we're so excited for you. On this card, this is a huge card, obviously.
Yeah, big.
And you're fighting Greg Hardy, who's got a layer. Listen, he's got a, you know, this guy's got a, he's got a name. You know, he's new. He's fairly new in the sport, but he's got a name. Are you coming to get all his smoke? How are you feeling now?
Man, he's been talking like he wants this smoke, so I'm going to give it to him.
I think I fucked that up. I said he wants to get his smoke.
Yeah,
we always fuck up with this. If the smoke,
that's what, I don't know. Smoke, shot, shade, shine.
I try to sound a little young, Ty. I try to sound young. And
it's fine. You did all right.
Listen, so Ty, you thinking he wants your smoke, right?
That's what he's saying. He's saying like he wants to break my face and shit like that. I don't know. I don't know where these words are coming from, but hopefully he brings it.
You're making me want some smoke.
yeah, vape for a second.
I'm not exactly Joe Rogan here.
Oh,
I'm not Barbara Walters.
Now, Ty, you have an interesting. I think you were 8-0, and then you dropped three, but you've rebounded with two straight wins, which is a great turnaround. What happened for you after that third fight that changed things for you? Were you in a mentally bad place at one point, or were you able to refocus?
Yeah, I think I just lost myself for a little bit. You know what I mean? And that happens. I kind of come into the UFC. I was made a big name. I was fighting all these big guys. I maybe was rushing it a little bit. You know what I mean? Just getting a little bit ahead of myself. And just some out of cage stuff, at home stuff. You know what I mean? I just don't think I was in line with myself. And usually when shit gets like that, I have to step back and try and look at things and look at myself and then go again. And I feel like I'm back on a roll now, and a good win on Saturday will fucking get me back up there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, did you do something in particular? Like, was it a bit of a confidence shake? I mean, you did something to get your confidence back?
Oh, no. I was born with confidence. I'm not worried about the confidence part of things. More just in line with myself, making decisions. Like, I was making stupid business decisions, just stuff outside of the cage, which was affecting my training and affecting initially what I do, which is fighting. And that's what I do. And that's my number one priority. And I kind of had to get back in line with that. You know what I mean? And I'm back on route. So, I just train and I think about fighting and I'm trying to better myself all around as a professional. So, I think that's where I kind of was fucking up a little bit there, you know what I mean? So, but that comes with experience and with age. I'm still probably one of the youngest in the, and I feel I'm going to be around for a little bit. So I'm just getting started.
Yeah, bad business decisions. I mean, we all make them. And so you got to get somebody around you that like you trust. But then again, like, who do I trust? Like, it's tough, but it's very distracting in professional life if you're thinking about business stuff and money while you're trying to do something professional.
Hey, Ty, you watch now with Greg Hardy. Are you letting your coaches watch the tape on him, or do you sit down there with him, or no?
No, I watched one fight, and then that was about it.
Ty doesn't. You can't just tell you about Ty Tuivasa. He does not give a fuck. Look at him. I love this about him.
You can't watch him. And then go in there and they do something totally different, you're fucked. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly. Hey, something tells me you handle those pre-fight nerves very well. Would I be correct with that? Or
I feel the fight is my time. Like, the fight is, I hate training and I like sparring and stuff. And you're like, I kind of, that for me is more like, if I got a hard session, I get more nervous for that. You know what I mean? Or like, I get kind of, I'm weird like that. But then once there's more people and there's cameras and there's lights, it's just like, yeah, fuck yeah, let's do this. It's on now.
I think we should keep a camera on. I feel you're an interesting. I feel a reality about show.
OnlyFans. I've been thinking about an OnlyFans or some shit.
OnlyFans. We were thinking about a reality show on A&E. You OnlyFans.
Oh shit!
Now, what is Only? Is OnlyFans just for something to show your ass, or what is it for?
Bro, I don't know, but I heard it's like a porno site or something. And I heard they make it. So,
okay, I'll also pretend that I don't know. Judy. It's something you look at naked girls on.
Is that what you do?
Oh, actually,
yeah. Yeah,
what
you
is it?
For it. It's actually, it's a good site. People go on and model and do what I do. And there are guys that do things that are not sexual, comedians that go on. And you could have nude photos, you could have regular photos, and people pay every month. That's all. It's very, very, it's pretty simple and it's very
popular. What do you reckon my price would be?
I guess it depends on what you do. Now, to watch you go around your daily life would be very interesting. To watch you naked, you could probably get more money, but I wouldn't sign up for that. But some people definitely would.
It's an option.
$10 a month, $15 a month. But if you get 1,000, but if you get 1,000 people, it's a lot of money.
Oh, true.
That is true. But nobody uses the OnlyFans for like to show training footage and shit like that. Like, or no?
Yeah, you can.
I heard Izzy does.
Who does? Izzy, does he? Izzy,
yeah, I heard Izzy's got like, he does his sparring and stuff and he gets, I heard that. I don't know. I think it's true. Is it true?
I don't know. I haven't heard that, but I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah. I just don't want no perverts slipping into my DMs. I don't need that shit. They want to see me roll around. I'm going to be like, can you do it in a tub full of fucking KY? I go, yeah. No.
Or a blouse. Could you wear a blouse? While you-,
you wear lipstick and roll it. No. Anyway, what I meant before was more what Jimmy was leaning towards, like a reality show. Because, Ty, you got a presence about you. I don't know. You make me laugh when you're not even doing anything. You're kind of a funny guy. Like, you got a fucking... Not listen, not like I'm not trying to be at a scene of Joe Pesci, like, funny how. I'm just saying you are kind of like affable. I recognize it because I am too.
Yeah.
Jimmy, I'm way off with this.
No, you're actually correct. You should just have that energy. Ben? Yeah. Matt's a little stoned. But no. I mean, he...
Are you stoned, Matt?
Telling you, he's a big jovial guy.
Yeah.
It's good. It's better than having, listen, if you had the personality of a fucking plant, I'm not saying there should be a fucking reality show on
right.
I'm saying he's got a, you got a screen presence. I'm thinking you, fucking Derek Lewis, you guys get an apartment somewhere, put a reality, make it like the Truman Show. You put reality show in there.
That'd be fun. That'd be cool.
God couple. One of you guys is a Derek's all neat. Ty's drinking out of fucking boots and shit. This could be great.
Well, sign it up. I'm ready. Sign me up.
I feel like I'm pitching a meeting to the fucking board and they're just looking at me like, dude, what are you, a fucking asshole?
Well, it's
smoking, Matt.
Ty, I don't make fun of you and your fucking boots, you dirty bastard. Dare you?
Are you here this weekend?
No, I wish, buddy. I wish.
Because we haven't done one yet.
Oh, what, drinking out of a boot?
Yeah.
Does somebody have to spin it, though?
You can spin in mine.
Okay. Mm. All right. Well, I'll drink out of a boot, but only with Ty. I'll do it with Ty, but no. It has to be a female shoe.
Wait, people spitting it?
High heel.
No spitting.
No spinning.
Well, you have to spin it.
It makes it sells the vibe a bit more. You know what I mean?
You know what? Hey, Ty, maybe you should switch from that to maybe you should start smoking and not do that.
Smoke weed?
Yeah.
I smoke weed hard.
Fucking Ty. All right, listen. Back to the fight. I don't know. Listen, Greg Hardy. This is big. Because I'll tell you right now, he lost his last one to Marcin Tybura, but he was looking really good up until that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are we expecting a fucking hard first round and then for him to teeter off?
I'm ready to bang on for 25 minutes. My main goal is this, just to be fit. And I feel I'm very fit. I can punch and kick for 25 minutes strong. So... If that's what he wants to do, I just feel it's going to be a hard office for him. I'm not going to back out. I'm not going to pull away. So I'm all in. It's either me getting knocked out or I'm fucking winning. There's only two options.
So you're saying you're 25 minutes. This is a 3-round fight, right?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, you're ready for 5 rounds. Okay, I understand.
Yeah, I'm ready to punch on for 25 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, he's looked he's really interesting. I mean, he obviously came off a good football career and he seems very dedicated and he's made a decent amount of adjustments. But you don't watch a lot of tape. You just you find that it like you said, makes you expect one thing and they're going to wind up doing another.
I won't take anything away from his sporting achievements. Like he's to play in the NFL and the UFC, I think they're two of the fucking hardest sports in the world. I like to make anywhere those. I ain't gonna take that away from him. You know, he's done well to do that, and that's great for him. But to start saying he's gonna break my face and shit like that, I don't know if he knows who he's talking to.
Does that make you more motivated? Or like a lot of guys aren't affected at all by talk.
Shit, I want to punch your face. And now I'm just going to punch it harder. It doesn't matter.
It motivates you to want to punch it harder.
Talking. I like that. Yeah. Hey, man. Well, listen, your confidence has to be high coming off a fucking TKO and a KO. And, you know, it gives you extra confidence when you're putting people to sleep two fights in a row.
Well, all my fights I've won, I've pretty much put someone to sleep. Like, my history speaks. I don't know. He's talking about breaking faces and breaking people. Fuck, I haven't seen him break shit.
I fucking love it. I love it, Jimmy. I can't wait for this weekend.
Yeah, this is a great fight. And this could be a main event fight on another card.
Fuck yeah.
I mean, you're obviously on a massive card. So before we let you go, Ty, what do you think of in the division, the interim fight now between Cyril Gane and Derek Lewis, with Francis not fighting, which I think is strange that he's not fighting right now. What do you think of what's going on at the top of the division?
Man, I don't know what the fuck's going on with all that. But Cyril Gane, man, he's a freak of nature. He looked, are they the same? Are they cousins or did they train together?
They
trained together, yeah.
So yeah, I saw that. They kind of look the same and shit. So they're both, but I think Cyril Gane moves a bit more. I don't know. Yeah, he's a bit more thingy, you know? So I don't know. But you never count Derek out. That's for sure. My man's a banger. You never count us bangers out. So we're gonna keep banging. So that'll be a good fight. I don't know. I don't really know. I think Cyril Gane's got a hard day in the office with Derek, to be honest.
Yeah. So, Derek, there's no easy way. Like even Curtis Blaydes, Derek just basically can throw that short. I think it was short right.
He's a banger. And you can't, and a banger means he's going to fight till it's finished or till he's finished. So, and they're the people you don't really want to fight with. So and I'm a big fan of Derek Lewis, to be honest. So I like my peoples. I think he might beat Cyril Gane.
Ty Tuivasa, good luck on Saturday night against Greg Hardy. We'll definitely talk to you again. And always, always fun to watch you fight.
Take care, brother.
Thanks, Maddie.
You think you know Rose Namajunas? Rose lost her first title fight, flat out lost. Right then and there, she made a decision to stop just fighting and start believing she would become a champion. And look who's number one now. Guaranteed Rate is a mortgage lender who understands the power of belief. Because if you believe, you will.
Equal housing lender, subject to credit approval. Restrictions apply. Company NMLS ID 2611, NMLSconsumeraccess.org.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I think we just talked Ty Tuivasa into getting an OnlyFans. That's the headline from this episode. Ty Tuivasa is going to get an OnlyFans.
I think I'm silly with the reefer. Meanwhile, the guy's drinking snot out of a boot. What the fuck is going on around here?
I don't get it, dude. Somebody's dirty, and I'm a dirty guy, but just drinking something with someone's shoe that they spit in, that's just, oh.
Jimmy, meanwhile, you fucking played people's toes like a harmonica.
That's the beauty of me. There's no consistency. There's none. I know. I don't have a good answer for you.
Shit. All right, man.
Let's do a couple of picks.
Let's do that shit, man. Let's go.
Chris Moutinho against Sean O'Malley. I'm not familiar with Chris, but O'Malley, interesting, had a couple of, he's coming off a win after that loss to Chito Vera, had a couple of Marab and a couple of other, I think Ricky Simone, a couple of people threw their names in the ring, and he chose this guy, who I believe is his first UFC fight.
O'Malley, first round knockout. You know why?
Why?
Because that's what I'm saying.
I'm going to say O'Malley. I'll give him second round stoppage.
Okay.
Second round stoppage, O'Malley.
All right. All right, let's do this now.
Okay, what do you got?
I like Yana. I think Yana's tough. She knows how to win a decision. Having said that, Irene looked amazing up until our last fight. And that fight was a little bit ago. When was that? That was a year ago.
Last fight was October of 20.
Yeah, okay. That was a little bit ago. And she looked amazing up until then. So I think she made the correction. She's coming back strong. But I'll get up for decision.
Okay, I'm going to take Kunitskaya decision.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I'm buzzing. Who are you taking? The other one?
Yana Kunitskaya decision. Tuivasa, Greg Hardy. Interesting fight.
I'm going to listen. I like Greg Hardy. I think I'm going to go with Ty Tuivasa, man. I think he's going to go. I think he's going to get him knocked out in the second round.
You know what, Matt?
I'm nutty, man.
I'm going to take Tuivasa decision.
Nah, I think he's going to find a home for those fucking New Zealand fists.
You might be right. I'm going to take him by decision.
We're banging Gilbert, through these, Jimmy.
Gilbert Burns against our buddy Wonder Boy.
Wonder Boy decision. Wonder Boy's a hard guy to. He's,
I know
gotta,
he is.
He's so hard to fight. He's like an enigma.
Guys think they're going to take him down, and he is extremely difficult and extremely fast. And the way he bounces, he's very hard to get a read on. I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to take Wonder Boy by decision as well.
Maybe. All right. Here we go. I give Gilbert Burns a lot of credit, though, for taking a fight with Wonder Boy
great,
for losing the title fight.
Tomorrow, title
fight. Dustin Poirier, Conor McGregor. Third round stoppage. Conor McGregor.
It's funny. I'm taking Conor, too. I'm taking him in the second round.
Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry.
You're taking Poirier. McGregor? Yeah, you're taking Poirier. I'm taking Conor.
I said Poirier. What did I just say?
You said Conor McGregor, which surprised me.
No. You know why? Because as I did that, my landlord was calling me, and it threw me off.
Who's your landlord, Conor?
You're funny. But I'm taking Poirier third round stoppage.
Okay, I'm going to take McGregor second round. And here's why. I still think he has that booming, lightning fast left. I don't think McGregor has probably had time to make enough adjustments to stop Poirier from doing what he did last time. But I think at the end of the day, this is a bigger fight for Conor than it is for Dustin Poirier. Not that he wants it more. Yeah, even though Conor's got enough money to retire for 10 lifetimes, I think Conor has won, he's lost. And I think this is a huge fight for him. This is a bigger fight. He's not doing any media for this.
Why big of him?
Because I think Poirier has looked so good. I think Conor has been more inconsistent lately. Let me look at their record. Hold on one second. I have to type this in. This is how we do it here on Unfiltered. We don't have fancy assistants. We do this shit. Just give me 1 second.
Little elbow grease. Doesn't hurt nobody.
Because of Poirier's record, he has lost one fight out of God. When's the last time he lost? Habib. Poirier has been on quite a tear. He's only lost two fights in 6 years, whereas Conor has been a bit more inconsistent lately.
Yeah.
He lost his last fight to Poirier in the second with that pretty devastating knockout. He's got a long Wikipedia. And before that, of course, he beat Cerrone, loses to Habib, wins two, loses to Diaz. He's been back and forth, and I think he's ranked fifth. And I think for him to be any type of a title contender, he has to win this fight. And I don't think we've seen Conor in a must-win fight in a while. It's just why I'm taking him. It's just my thinking.
Yeah, it's all fucking great, Jimmy. It's all fucking great. But he's fighting Dustin.
A killer, I know.
Diamond Poirier.
Yes.
I mean, do you see what Max Holloway, how he, he outboxed the great Calvin Kattar?
Yes, he did.
Amazing, who beat Dan Ige and... and saying I'm the best boxer in here. I'm the best boxer. That's Max Holloway. And Max Holloway's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Him and Dustin had a great fight, man. I mean, look how Dustin bested him. So it's like Dustin's confidence is at an all-time high. He just ended Conor. And before he knocked him out, the leg was compromised.
Yeah, absolutely.
Conor even said. So it's not like he just beat him. Oh, man, he couldn't do it because he couldn't walk anymore. He took away his movement. Took him out and in the takedown. I feel, even though I feel Conor has a very more well-rounded game than given credit for.
Yeah.
you don't really see. I mean, he took down some people back in the day, but
by the way, every time I've taken Connor, I'm wrong. I'm always wrong when I pick Connor, but I'm taking him anyway.
Well, listen, I think for the offensive wrestling, you got to give that to Dustin.
Sure,
Dustin probably. I think he works more his defense as far as that, but Dustin could mix up the strikes enough to add in. Listen. I got Dustin Poirier third round. That's what I got. I'm sticking with that.
Yeah, hey, look, it's a smart pick. I just think that the magnitude of this fight for Conor, the fact that he lost to Dustin and wants to be back in there with him immediately, with the kind of money he has, he doesn't need to be fighting. I just think that this means a lot more to him than he's probably letting on. So that's why I'm just going to take Conor for that reason.
So, Jimmy, I watched a new Chris Pratt movie, most of it, The Tomorrow War. It's on Amazon Prime.
Is it a superhero movie?
I like it. I like it a lot.
Oh,
it's good, Jimmy.
Oh, man.
Jimmy, these aliens aren't the aliens from Independence Day. With such a letdown when Will Smith, welcome to Earth. Boom, he punched that thing in the head.
They hated that.
Once that happened, I was out of the movie.
Yeah,
I was out of the fucking way. I wanted to see Independence Day. I wanted to love it.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
I remember seeing the scene of the big alien ships coming out from the clouds.
Yeah.
And what if this really happened? Oh my goodness. Oh, they're blowing up buildings. Oh my God. Anyway, now with this one, these monsters, these aliens, like big spider like with the monster with the big teeth. You can only kill them if they shoot them in the belly. And then fucking grenade you. Scariest aliens since Aliens.
Yeah. Okay.
So check out Tomorrow War. I'm not done with it, but so far it's a fun ride.
Buddy, I'm going to see you. And everybody check out UFC 264 this Saturday night. Watch the prelims.
Yes.
Dude, the UFC app is so fucking good.
Yes.
Watch the early prelims and definitely get the pay-per-view. What an amazing card. O'Malley against Chris Moutinho. Aldana Kunitskaya. Tai Tuivasa, Greg Hardy. A very underrated fight. Gilbert Burns, Stephen Thompson as the co-main. Poirier McGregor is the main event. And Matt, I'm going to see you on Saturday night, and we're going to do the UFC watch party, and I hope you're there early so we can hang and eat like pigs.
Hey, dude, if anybody wants to see me on Long Island, I'll be at Governor's Comedy Club. No, I'm only kidding. I don't do that shit. But no. I'll be at Sarah BJJ in Huntington. People come in there. They go, oh, you're really here. I go, yeah, dude, it's my academy. Look, my name's on the wall. And then I show them an arm lock.
Good.
So listen, if you ever want to stop in, Jimmy, and listen, what do you want to plug? What else?
Cameo.com/Jim Norton. I'm on the website, not the app. And check out the UFC watch party.
Jimmy, it's going to be so much fun. I'll be seeing you very soon, but not soon enough, my friend.
Yes, pal. I'll see you in a couple days.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye. See you, Matt.
Later, Jimmy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.